This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Last weekend, I got the opportunity to attend the launch of WVC Jazz Ensemble's latest album, Do Not Go Gently. At that event, the band and the recording engineer gave us a look into how music from the studio is recorded and then engineered to press into a CD, if that's the right expression. Tay Che Xiang from WVC and Alex Tan, the recording engineer, are here. Che Xiang, when you guys are playing in a studio, do you play as if you were playing before a live audience? Or are you aware that because I'm in the studio, I have to do something different?
Very interesting question. Yes, at least for our kind of music, jazz, we always try to play as if we are playing live for an audience, even though we are in a recording studio. That's why we try to capture the interaction happening in between musicians. That's, I think, the very, very important and essential spirit of jazz is that all these interactions that are not planned beforehand, it just happened right there. So in the recording studio, we try to play as if we are really playing for a live audience. But at the same time, psychologically, you know, we are aware that we are inside a studio. Still, there's some kind of that feeling that's somewhat different.
Because you don't have an audience. That's all it is, right?
Yes.
You don't have. Why isn't this then recorded in a place like No Black Tie,
yeah,
where the sound is quite good, I think?
Yes, yes.
And you can have an audience, but tell them, shut up.
Which actually, we did recording at our concert. It's just that we didn't really, you know, release them. Yes, there are a lot of recordings that became classics from the jazz 1950s, 60s that were recorded live. Which, you know, we find those energy very, very interesting. But at the same time, I think inside a studio, we can better control some aspects of the performance. Of course, more importantly, is the pristine condition of the sound that we can capture. In a live still, you know, I mean, it's just different. It's just two different things.
You talk about pristine sound,
yes,
that's been captured, but I'm quite aware that the pristine sound is also something more imagined than real, because Alex here does something to it. So Alex, I know one of the questions which I asked you when I was there was that you said that because of the equipment that you have, you can create the sound as if it's in a big room, in a small room. You can create a kind of different ambiance for the sound to be expressed.
Yeah.
How do you decide what kind of sound when they are already playing it, with the sense of here is the audience?
Well, I always put myself at the audience seat. It's like, okay, how would I enjoy the most, you know, of this performance? You know, so it's like sometimes I felt like this will be great if I enjoyed in a theater. Or this one is like, I want to keep it as like a jazz lounge. You know, like, yeah, I want that kind of smell.
But when you have several tracks, like for instance on this album,
yeah,
you have 11 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
One would assume for an album there must be this overall arching sound.
Yeah.
And then you have 11 different tracks within. Mm-hmm. So what's the process of saying, okay, this is how we go about it?
This is about like, Che Xiang and the band has decided on the song order. All right. Then it's like it's me that put on my imagination, or, you know, to map up the roadmap of like, okay, so how do we go by this journey? Like, how do we bring the audience from point A, you know, to the end to experience the exciting contour of space?
I recall you use a particular metaphor in the studio. You talk about watching a movie.
Yeah. Different scenes.
The tunes are played in different scenes within the whole journey,
picture,
the whole film.
Yes.
And then you create the sounds and the ambience for each scene in this journey.
I would say that Alex is like the finest stage of creative process. So even though I wrote the tunes, we recorded, we played them, he captured everything. But at the final stage of deciding how the album should flow, he is really like one part of the whole creative process as well. He decides, it could be quite arbitrary, but I think it's through experience, it's through your taste in...
How much of it is left to him, and how much of it is while he is doing the production, post-production
yes,
work,
yes.
How much discussion continues even at that stage?
I would say that I leave it all to Alex regarding this, because I can talk a lot about making the music, but I need to shut up when it comes to this final stage. Because of our working relationship for the past five years. So I really trust him, and he always surprises. And this guy is easily excited. He always like, wow, listen to this. And always like, we are amazed. We're amazed. Like, yeah, Alex, please, you are like the fifth member of the band. Yeah.
When you can create a CD with technology to clean up, and when you are in the studio, like you said, even though there are only four of you, while you are recording the studio, you can have like AJ, who's your bass guitarist, mm-hmm. you can have three AJs.
Yes.
From one perspective, the live performance falls short of what you can do in the recording studio.
True.
So why would I want to go listen to you in some little hole in the wall when I can get your CD, which is perfect?
True. I think this is also an interesting observation. But at the same time, I think even though live performance, you fall short of all these so-called studio gimmicks, it's being compensated by all this excitement of in that particular space. I would like to, you know, recall an example. You see, like Beatles, they were kind of like the early pioneers in studio techniques. They spent like thousands of hours recording all these snippets of sound, and they just try to mix them and like create sound that you cannot find them in real life, in reality. But at the end of the day, the last album that they did was a live album, Let It Be. Mm-hmm. They decided that, okay, forget about all this studio thing, even though it was fun to play with, but it's totally a different thing. They still enjoy playing as just four of them. So which I think is just like us. As a jazz musician, actually, we came from the tradition that we really, really cherish the live spirit of playing music. But working with Alex after years, and we started to find all this fun of making things inside studio. As
it's a different creative process.
Exactly. Like we can have three AJs if we want to, and we can have like Julian playing with Julian, you know, something like that. Which I think it's also something akin to like movie. You can have this same person but talking to each other. But in theater, you couldn't do that. You still have to imagine, even if you want to talk to yourself, you might want to stand on the left-hand side and then move the right-hand side. The audience have to imagine that, oh, he's talking to himself. Same thing in live performance is that even though we are limited by four of us, it's four of us. You cannot get any more than us. But still, there's a lot more than just what you see on stage.
So you think getting to see you in person, blush and everything, is worth something the CD cannot give?
I think so. It's just two different things. And also, I think, especially with my band, because we've been playing with each other so much over the years, that we really kind of developed that kind of really
intuitive connection.
Yeah, affinity to each other. That a lot of time, this is what our audience told us, is that, like, why are you guys smiling on stage to each other? You know, to us, it's like, there's a lot of insider's jokes. Audience really enjoy that.
That's also my observation, you know, most recently, seeing how you guys work, you know, see you guys backstage, that there is certainly this very deep friendship.
Yes.
And a lot of respect for each other.
Yes. Yeah?
And I think that carries over onto your live performances.
Yes.
Yeah, when you're on stage. One more thing, the roadmap is given to you. You create the sounds. After you have created it in the post-production, you also put in, like, for instance, in this one track, there was all these siren sounds. Whose idea is it to put the sirens in there?
Idea was given by Zhe Xiang. But position-wise, it's like, you know, I will be the one that
is the siren sound something stock you got, or you went out to the streets and then recorded the siren sounds and then embedded it into the music?
The siren, to be specific, the siren was from a synthesizer.
Yes. You couldn't tell, right?
It's from a synthesizer.
Our ears are being cheated.
Took it up a little bit,
technology can do.
Yes.
Before I let you go, this album, you took the title from a poem by
Dylan Thomas.
Yes. But you also tweaked the title, right? Like the last time when you were here, I asked, How much must you know about Shakespeare to write music for Shakespeare?
Yes.
Now, taking this title from Dylan Thomas and then tweaking it, so my question is, how much of Dylan Thomas did you look into before you crank out an album using his titles?
Yeah, of course, I would like to say that if I know way more, it's even better. But because of just this inspiration just struck me after I saw this particular poem, that actually I got it like kind of secondhand from a friend sharing about Interstellar and quoted this particular poem. And at that time, when I was reading this review of the movie, this particular poem just struck me. It's like, wow, this is great. So I mean, with the convenience of internet, you just Wikipedia it. I read through it and know the background story of Dylan Thomas when he was writing this. I would say that I know that much, not more. Yeah, but then I managed to write two tunes out of this particular poem. So I think that's say something. Sometimes, yeah, things just struck you.
Now, the album is launched. Where is it available?
It's only available from us. So please check us out on our Facebook page and contact us that way. Yeah.
That's the only way to get it.
Yes.
Record stores don't work anymore, do they?
Not really, because I think our music is really quite niche and people, they will only be interested if they see us play. So we sell it ourselves.
Well, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Very informative, especially for me, again, here, the Saturday watching what happens in the process is so enlightening.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Tay Che Siang from WVC Jazz Ensemble. I've publicly christened it Williams Veritable Jazz Ensemble. And if I say it enough times, maybe it will stick. And Alex Tan from Star Mount Studio. The album is available from the band members. And I will sign out now with the title track, Do Not Go Gently. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.